Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Malcolm Jackson, Assistant Administrator of the Office of Environmental Information and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Ken Beecher. So, Malcolm, I have the pleasure of talking to all of our guests about the use of collaboration partnerships among agencies and the private sector to achieve mission results. I'm interested in how you're leveraging partnership to improve IT outcomes in EPA.
Well, public-private partnerships are critical to our success. Coming from a private sector, I lived in a world where they existed, and I know the benefits that they bring to the table. When you think about where we are as a federal government, when you think about where we are as an agency perspective, we need to look to realize better outcomes. Not to say we've been doing bad in the past. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I believe that we can do even better. And we can't be experts in everything. So what we should look to do is be experts in areas that are core competencies for us and leverage other organizations, either in the public sector or the private sector, who may have core competencies that may be better than ours. I think if you do that and you marry the two up in the appropriate manner, you get great outcomes. And I'm looking for great outcomes. And I think this is a world where, or a mindset that we should have across the entire federal government. It's an opportunity in front of us. It's an opportunity that we really need to take advantage of.
You know, there's a lot of talk of social networking being used in the marketplace. Malcolm, we just talked a little bit about partnership outside of EPA. And as you mentioned earlier, there are a lot of great ideas that EPA staff have amongst themselves. So what role do you feel social networking plays in your business area?
Well, we're forward leading from a social network perspective. The administrator is on Facebook. We have a number of our leaders are out leveraging social networking tools. We have quite a few employees who are leveraging social networking tools. So it's a way in which you can speak to your constituents and individuals who are actually interested in your in environmental matters, but it's also a way to learn and listen. As I mentioned earlier, listening is critical. As leaders for our environment, being EPA leaders of our environment, we need to listen and learn from what some of our stakeholders are interested in. We need to listen and learn into some of their concerns. Social media offers that. It's a vehicle for receiving input. It's a vehicle for communicating. As I said, we're forward-leaning with it, but I think there's still opportunities that exist for us, opportunities where we can be even better, opportunities where we can learn more, opportunities where we can receive feedback and leverage that feedback, incorporate that feedback into the work we do in helping to meet our mission as an agency as a whole.
Right, and you said that, you know, change isn't easy. You also mentioned that many employees do use the social networking skills. So what obstacles are there for those employees that aren't using them?
It's interesting. I find this, I find that when you look at the demographics of our employees, the younger Generation Y, Generation X, they're very open to using social media tools. The generation that, and I'll pick on myself, baby boomers, not as open toward using them. So what one of the things that I have to do is, and I say I am referring to me within my organization, and referring to my staff, and referring to other leaders within the agency, is help people to realize the benefits from using social media and how it's going to help enable them to do their job, how it's going to help enable them to meet the mission of our agency in a way that's more compelling for people who consume environmental information.
So what other emerging technologies are you looking at?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, we've talked a little bit about mobile. We've talked a little bit about cloud computing. I actually believe those in the near term are some of the emerging technologies that we need to spend a bit of time on and do some work, because there's tremendous opportunities with both. If you think about mobile technology, early responders going out to an environmental incident of some sort, and being able to pull out a mobile device and be able to access cloud-based applications to be able to do data collection, to be able to take pictures and be able to send that information back. That improves our data quality. That improves our response time. That just improves the quality or the product that we deliver as an agency. And in making that information even more readily available from a timeliness perspective, I think those are the opportunities that are near term for us. Beyond that, it's difficult to say. Back in the day when you could put together a five-year IT plan, there was a time when you could do that, when you were mainframed and the speed to change was a bit slower. Now it's so fast, you've got to be a little bit, you got to respond quickly, but you can't go out beyond more than 18 months or so with any type of technology development. Challenge being, it changes too quickly. And it goes back to my earlier statement is we're moving in the direction that technology is going. We're not going where technology is today, because by the time you deploy it, it's already old. I had a president I used to work for, and she used to always tell me, she said there was no such thing as an IT project that didn't take or that didn't last at least 6 months. And her view was it was 6 months to a year to do anything. When people would talk about a three-month window or where you develop something, it was just too difficult to deliver in that time frame. So I look at the emerging technologies that way.
Just keeping on the idea of the future, I want to get a sense of whether or not, what are the major challenges, opportunities that you think your organization will encounter in the future, and how do you seek to envision meeting these challenges, if you will?
Well, I want to step back and say, we've been talking about technology, but one piece that has been left out is business. You have to understand the business process and what you're trying to accomplish first. I think one of the bigger challenges is, as a federal government, we're changing how we work as a business. So we need to really step back and rethink our business practices and make sure that we have our mind around what's associated with that. You get that business process in place, then you marry up the technology components to it. So you don't lead with technology. I never want to lead with technology. We always want to lead with the business perspective and the business model first, and then you marry the technology piece after that.
In a sense, the technology is the enabler.
That's exactly right. We're an enabler. We're not a leader here. You can have leading technologies, but we don't lead with technology in terms of solving problems.
It's terrific insight. I want to ask you a question as we close today. It's been a wonderful conversation, but what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
Yeah, as I said earlier, my entire career being in the private sector, this is my first time in the public sector, and I've never been so fulfilled in a role as I have within EPA. And the things that fulfill me is the passion people have around what they do, particularly within EPA. I never worked anywhere where I saw people who just cared so much about the environment. I mean, cared passionately about the environment. Everything they did was around our environment. And that, it catches fire. I mean, coming in the door, I thought I cared about the environment, but I care even more now, just understanding the implications, and it just grows on you. Just being around people who are smart, being around people who have a passion for and a care for clean air, for clean land, for clean water, and the sacrifices that they have made to ensure that we provide the level of service we do to American citizens as a whole. My advice to others is walk into it with your eyes wide open and don't just stick your toe in. Jump in with both feet and embrace it, because it's a good career. The careers across all the federal governments, they provide a needed service, and it's a lasting service. And I am proud to say that I am a public employee.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today. But more importantly, Ken and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thank you. At this point in my career, I can't think of anything else I'd want to do. And I'm excited about the future for the country. I'm excited about the future of technology. I'm excited about where we're taking it and looking forward to where we can help assist our agency be more successful as we look toward the future.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Malcolm Jackson. Assistant Administrator of the Office of Environmental Information, and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. My co-host from IBM has been Ken Beecher. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.